chocolate at the wrong time. Oh, hello, no. Welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham.
Eat that chocolate.
With me, as always, is the one, the only, the dark in my chocolate. The fair in my trade.
Yes.
The KevinMiller.com. Jump and press circle button, Kevin.
May the force be with you, Justin.
Oh, may the force be with us all. Speaking of which, big spoiler alert episode. Just fair warning.
Fair trade warning.
Fair trade, that's right. This will cost you nothing extra for you to get this spoiler alert warning.
Is that what you think fair trade means?
Am I not?
Fair trade chocolate is usually more expensive than the slave chocolate.
Yeah, but isn't the idea of a fair trade meaning that there is no like added cost?
It is paying, no, the opposite of that. It is paying the workers a rate that is worth their time as opposed to them working for human standard.
Do you have a cup I can spit this into?
Oh, no. You hate it that much.
No.
You prefer slave chocolate.
I'm very good at geopolitics. I'm always up on it. I always know what's going on. But we're going to be talking, if we don't do it right now immediately, we're going to be talking about Battlefront 2 because Kevin has completed the campaign.
And that's when we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. I determine the length in which everybody should finish a main campaign.
But here's why I think it's not for selfish reasons. It's for practical ones.
Yeah.
Is that you and I, one of the reasons why we stopped doing the show is because we both had kids,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and now we don't.
No, we don't. Now they're already, they're almost in elementary school, yeah. All of them. So we're done. Our parenting is done.
They're pretty much on autopilot.
Well, maybe also I had a full-time job.
That's also
now
true.
I don't.
Yeah. Your career is also on autopilot.
But anyway, so I think that for us, our time for playing games has been severely diminished.
Yeah, and there's also like a window of appropriate time for seeing a movie that then talk about spoilers. However, for some reason, the Star Wars films, you get like a week to see them and then spoilers are allowed.
Really?
I feel like after Episode 7 came out, it was a week later that people were making Han dies jokes as like just that was part of the cultural conversation. Han dies. With no spoiler warning or anything.
Had you already seen it at that point?
Yes, of course. It's Star Wars. What's wrong with you? You get a week. But most
And they
movies,
come out around your birthday.
Exactly, which I think we're going to do this year as well. But with video games, like where is the spoiler warning? Like if the new Batman game comes out, if another Arkham game comes, or the last one. Like is it still okay? Can I mention who the bad guy, who the Arkham Knight is? Or am I not allowed to talk about
that? Let me ask you this question. How have you ever had something that was spoiled for you
mm-hmm.
that you felt genuinely ruined the experience?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, twice that happened to me.
Can you share them?
Uh-huh,
spoiler alerts.
Yeah, on very big, when the spoiler thing first started, so pre-internet, the Fight Club was ruined for me over lunch. I made a joke. That to a mutual friend of ours of like, oh, maybe you guys are the same person. Ha ha ha. And they said, oh, this isn't Fight Club. And I went tick, 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 tick. Aww.
Oh,
I know what Fight Club's about. And then that happened for the biggest spoiler of them all, the Sixth Sense.
Oh,
so, which is a similar spoiler in that same person. We were doing a comedy sports show, if you recall. So some tween girls were there and we were playing a guessing game and they wanted us to act out Sixth Sense for some reason. And the girl trying to guess the characters.
I remember this.
Said trying to guess who Bruce Willis, like all of us as improvisers had to be the different characters. All of that's normal, like to do pop culture stuff in theaters. But like a spoiler like this was a big deal. And she was trying to guess. She's like, oh, he's playing the dead guy. And I went tick, 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 tick. Damn it.
In my memory, I remember you part of your joke going, oh, I haven't seen that movie
yes,
yet.
Probably.
As you like went back to the bench.
Yeah,
like,
that's probably
what I remember.
Yeah,
that's, yeah. Oh, that's good time. But see, here's
but those are big spoilers. Those
are
big.
They are. They are huge spoilers.
Now, our lead pastor did spoil Inside Out from the pulpit the week that it came. I saw it with him in the theaters, and then he was just new to L.A., and I warned him. He's like, I'm going to use this as a reference to, like, emotional development. And I was like, I don't think you should mention that. And he's like, no, it'll be fine. And then he did it, and he got letters.
Really?
Not angry letters like a pastor could get, but definitely like immediately after the service, thanks, bro. Don't have to see that now. Thanks a lot.
Well, here's the thing. I know that this is a video game podcast, but rarely is it in the first 15 to 20 minutes. And that
it's like the opening monologue before we get to the rehearsed bits.
I have so many questions about this, because my original point was to say that would we rather live in a society where everybody's just comfortable with spoilers and they don't get, like, because here's the thing.
Meaning you want to protect spoilers?
No.
As an endangered species, like, spoilers should be allowed to live free.
Yes.
So long as they have a habitat.
I want fair trade spoilers, by my definition.
Okay. let me reverse my understanding of both spoilers and fair trade.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there's a difference when courtesy starts to become and bleed over into oversensitivity.
Yeah, but I think a person should have the right to opt out. I don't want to know, or I do want to know, which is how the internet has, and most of our interactions with things.
Correct, yes.
Have gotten to. You can choose or not choose. When you are forced into it of like, la 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 la, I have not seen a single trailer for The Last Jedi. I have not seen a single trailer for it because I've already decided to see the movie. I don't need any of it ruined for me.
Ooh, good point by you.
By watching a trailer.
Yeah.
I don't need a single frame.
That's a good point.
You'll know beats. When Inception came out, I saw the trailer and was like, oh, it's about dreams within dreams. I still saw it.
But it didn't ruin it.
Really? Yeah. There was no surprise.
Maybe I'm not sensitive enough to have a stance on sensitivity because I just feel.
And that's probably accurate. Just in general.
Just in general. That's a more you know kind of moment for me.
Yeah, yeah. That may not be, you may not be the poster boy for sensitivity. In general.
My point was to say that if we continue to be hypersensitive to people's, like, by allowing somebody to have a tantrum.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying can't be upset. But if you're going to have a tantrum about Facebook and ruining Breaking Bad for you, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To the point where there's apps that are being developed, which I like.
What?
I like.
There's
you
an
don't
app?
Remember? That's... Yeah. There was a news article I remember about, there was an app where you could block people's commenting about Breaking Bad from your feed.
What like a it was waste of technology.
No, it depends on how much you love Breaking Bad, though, you know, but
wow.
See, and I think here's where I think
was it released all at once? Was that the problem? Like Stranger Things?
No, it was that every week when it was coming out, I think if this was happening during the last season of Breaking Bad.
So you could be a couple weeks behind on your DVR.
No, or just if you DVR'd it, because that's what we're really dealing with. We're dealing with appointment viewing. As opposed to when it airs.
Good
and so,
call. Now, if I watched I Love Lucy back in the day,
right.
There was no spoil. You either saw it or you missed
didn't.
It. And I'm going to tell you about it or not, because it ain't coming back on again for 10 more years.
So stay tuned for segment two when Kevin and I say why the DVR should die.
it's a fad. Digital technology.
Not
it won't
work.
Catch on.
Analog
is just so much better.
Right? It sounds so great. With the... on the needle on the vinyl.
You almost put me to sleep right there.
I could take you back to your days. So I'm saying that the more we try to, you know, walk on eggshells around spoiling things, I feel like sometimes in society it tends to ramp up to a level where it gets insane, right? Where you, but here's what I think that you've stumbled upon, whether intentional or not, is that we should have a convention.
Yeah.
And the convention right now is if you're listening to an auditory medium or an aural, I think is the correct term.
Is that a term?
Aural.
Are you making that up?
A-U-R-A-L. Aural. There's oral.
Uh-huh.
And then there's aural.
I don't like what you're doing with your jaw.
Aural.
I'm visibly uncomfortable. You're going to dislocate your own neck. Do you have that as a drop already?
I have this.
I regret everything.
I wish I could get that touch from this.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
Yeah. It's the same one, right? That's all the same moment.
For anybody who's new to the show,
we're sorry.
Before we did video games, it was just a show
it
where.
It was like this, really.
Yeah, it was this. It was the first 20 minutes of the show, but an hour and a half long. So
you're welcome.
So we had our friend Teresa on, and she was talking about a Muppet Baby tattoo that she had.
Yeah,
and it seemed to be an inappropriate place. And by inappropriate, I mean anywhere that you would not see on a t-shirt and shorts. Not like it wasn't 2 inches above her hooter.
Anywhere on. Oh, I thought you meant just on your skin, because a Muppet Baby tattoo in general.
Yeah.
Pretty odd. It was from The Office, the show The Office. It's we were.
Oh, it was a Muppet Baby?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't remember that part. I just know. And so she was talking about her touching her tattoo, and he got embarrassed.
Oh man, I did regret everything. Thanks for bringing that up.
I had a robot do this.
I regret everything.
That was good times.
That's right. I had a catchphrase back in the day.
Yeah. So my point is that we do the for aural, we do the spoiler alert, right?
Yeah,
we
say
spoiler alert. But it's not effective.
Now, so in iTunes you can mark this as explicit. So if we drop it, can you mark it as spoiler?
Ooh, no.
They should do that.
I mean, I could put it in the title. I think we already have the title this
time.
It's
explicit.
Either
going to
be aural or aural spoiler alert.
If you say that three more times, you have to mark it explicit anyway. There's a number of times.
Guys, you're only allowed 4 aurals in an episode.
One more.
Me explaining this to you also counts as one, just so you know.
You got room for one more.
but I think so you have the spoiler alert but at social media, like you could put it, but that, you know what I mean? Like it's harder to define. It's harder to point
you
out.
On social media, you'll say spoilers below and then do a bunch of paragraphs and then dash, 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 and then get into the spoilers.
Do you think it's reasonable to expect people to go through, if you're 2 days behind, say, Breaking Bad or whatever the new thing is? I was going to say Survivor, which is probably not as popular.
Yeah, wrong?
But I love Survivor. I'm an old guy.
Is it still on the air?
I hate you.
I thought they took that off when Bush stopped being president.
These words out of your mouth right now. It is so good. Ben is a war hero.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's funny to people who are watching this season.
All 4 of you over the age of 65.
And Brian with his little scrawniness. And you don't even get me started on Ashley's pelvic line. That is a hot woman. That is a sexy woman who is starved. That's the weirdest part about Survivor. The spoilers
they
part
don't
about
eat food?
Yeah. No, it's the fact that you wrestle with your sexual attraction towards people that are emaciated. you know what I mean? Like,
that's how I feel about most celebrities in general.
That's a good point by you. But like when you know maybe that they're not eating and not by choice, I feel like, I don't know. I just sit there and go, because here's the thing. I would look at a chick in a bikini. They're always in bikinis, right? So it's like, oh, that's a beautiful lady. But then I'm like, oh, God, like, I like a woman with some meat on her bones.
Sure.
I don't want to accidentally be supporting the anorexia.
Yeah.
Anorexia.
That counts. It's explicit.
Damn it.
Now, so here's my question then. Survivor being your archaic example, when is it okay to talk about a Survivor with no spoiler? Like it's moved from being preserved and something we haven't gotten to part of the cultural lexicon, because now I can talk about Sixth Sense and nobody's going to say spoiler alert.
But
right?
Anybody who has it, this is why time I don't think is a good parameter, because
you don't think it's a good parameter.
No, because like for instance, my good friends of mine, I love these people. They their son, they were doing a family movie night. And
is this me? Are you talking about me right now?
Shh.
Okay.
No, the movie night that they were the movie they were going to see for movie night with just their one son and the parents, so it's not you.
Okay.
Was Weird Science.
Interesting choice.
And this kid also, like, he loves the Ramones. Like, his parents, are raising him as if he's a child of the 80s.
Right. Because they were childhood.
He has a necklace with guitar picks because he goes to guitar class. And
how old
is
this kid?
He's the same age as Jacob. He's a buddy of Jacob's. And so, and he does, they're like black belts in karate. Like, when he advances to a certain level in guitar, he gets a pick gets to put on his necklace. And so,
this kid is cooler than
he's
me.
Very cool. He's putting together a band and he's in third grade. I love this kid. He's
so cool.
My favorite thing this kid ever said to me, by the way, was my son and him were talking. And they were just into first grade. So they're both 6 years old. And Jacob was way into football. This is when he and I were throwing the ball around the backyard. He hadn't played flag football yet. I hadn't reached the greatness of being offensive coordinator of the Burbank Bills. And yes, I am fielding offers, but I'm very loyal to the Bills for the upcoming season. But they have not signed me. He said, "Do you like football?" And he goes, "I like to watch it." But Jacob goes, "Well, I like to play it." He goes, "I don't think I'm going to play it. I'm too concerned about catastrophic injury."
Oh.
6 years old. And he said, "I'm too concerned about catastrophic." And at the time, I didn't know his parents.
Yeah,
and so
I
assumed that his parents had said, "Well, you're risking catastrophic injury
Playing
football."
That,
But no, it's this kid. It's not his parents. They never said those words to him. He's just very smart and very articulate and one of the best kids you could ever hang
out
with. He's super fun to hang out with. So anyway, they're watching Weird Science, right? So if you use the Sixth Sense as an example, a much better example than Survivor, because evidently there is no time limit, because nobody cares about spoiling Survivor.
Yeah. Season 1, though, maybe.
Richard Hatch, he won. Ruins.
Spoiler! Man, so meta.
So anyway, if you would still run the risk of ruining it, say, for said child or somebody who just wasn't around when that movie came out.
Yeah.
So time isn't a proper parameter. I feel like
because I've tried to preserve my son from Star Wars, which has been no easy feat. Like literally going to the doctor when he's age 5 and the doctor saying, has he seen Star Wars? And I said, no, meaning like I am trying to preserve him to know that Luke Skywalker's dad is Darth Vader. Literally. She said, has he seen Star Wars? I said, no. She said, well, there's a famous line in there. Is it Luke? I am your father. And she hands himself. I was like, what the is your problem? He literally, it was the only time I've ever lied to him. He goes, dad, is this guy pointing to Anakin? Is that Luke's dad? I said, no. Like what? What is wrong with me?
It's
like,
have you seen him yet?
Yes, he's finally on Empire. He is unlocked.
So he doesn't remember that moment at the dentist.
No, he finally let it go. But now he cares. It didn't register the doctor said there. I think there was a lollipop involved. So
he's zeroed in.
Yeah, and like okay, good enough. Go. Like he's gone to birthday parties, and I've asked like, will you be discussing? who Darth Vader's children are with your cock because you have Leia and Darth booked as your costume characters. Will this come up? Because he doesn't know, in which case he's going to opt out of your birthday party. He has a note.
Prescribed by his father. Yeah,
and they're like, no, it's not going to come up. Okay, all right, he's allowed to go.
That's so fun. And how are these people when you do this? Are they cool with it?
I think most people get it. They're like, okay. Like, if you're going to have a Star Wars birthday party, at least you probably get that there is a little bit of, not magic, but there's something cool that happens when you learn that moment.
It's to me, it's the joy of the world that we live in now, and that the world being so nerd culture centered
exactly.
Is that, and this is what I would like to come out of this. I would like for this to be the Geneva Convention of spoiler alerts, in that
we finally have an episode named for this episode.
So where we come together and we realize that, sure, it's okay to be super passionate about having things ruined, but we also have to have a modicum of understanding of the idea that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Things are going to get spoiled. And rather than letting it really emotionally impact you, maybe just do the bit of like, oh, man, they ruined the movie, The Sixth Sense, for me. Ha, 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 that's funny. And I get to play the part of being it. Like, I do that with my wife all the time, where I act like the things that she's doing are upsetting me because it's not funny if I just laugh at her.
Right.
It's more funny if I act like it. And then, but when she's had a lot to drink, she goes, am I embarrassing you?
No,
you can't embarrass
normal.
Me. Yeah. Like, you can't embarrass me. It's fine. But I have to be angry.
Challenge accepted.
I didn't say you. I said my wife.
Damn it. Still, challenge. Except I'm looking right at the picture of her on your wall. Natalie, we can do this. Yeah, because if a spoiler for a movie or film is so important that you're going to yell at a friend over it, you need your priorities rearranged.
The movie should not be that important.
Right.
The fun of like people not checking Facebook for 3 days until they can watch Game of Thrones, or you know,
I do it with sports. I have Game Pass, so I want, and I work at a church, so I do not see football games in the morning. I have to wait until after 5 p.m. local time, so I don't go on fantasy football. I don't go on Twitter because that's often I follow a lot of Patriots stuff there. I have to avoid it all, and if I know guys that talk about football, I'll avoid them.
Well, this is the part about now being like rooting for an LA team for me is if I'm walking through a grocery store with my Rams hat on and I've got the game DVR'd. Because what we do is now it's great. It's a family thing for us.
Yeah.
Everybody gets on their Rams shirts and hats and we all sit around. Even my wife is way into it. But lately she's had some work stuff. So we wait for her to watch the game.
Cool.
But then I get alerts on my phone and it's this weird thing where you go Amish for 4 hours.
Yeah.
But the nice thing, here's
you
the other.
You put up a barn and you're like.
Yeah, I raise a barn while I'm waiting to watch the game on my DVR. It's a lot of mixed messages I send.
Take care of all those cows. So Amish.
But the thing that's funny is that the DVR is great because you can fast forward through all the commercials and you can enjoy a 3 hour football game in an hour and a half. It's so great. But it's also sad when you are watching it live and you can't fast forward through those commercials. And you have to worry about people telling you.
Hey,
did you see that game? Yeah, way to go, up top, Greg the leg. You know, that kind of stuff.
Like, well, that's better when they go, oh, so sorry about that. Are you still feeling the pain? Well, I guess I don't need to watch that game. Because I am not going to willingly watch a game where we lose.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of that?
I still watch it. And it's funny because we've talked about it before, but my son is, he's growing up in not only a nerd-centered world, but I grew up being a nerd in the closet, I think. Like, I was way into nerdy things, but I just didn't know it. I didn't know what else was out there. Like, if there was somebody helping me walk the path, I would be much, much more culturally aware and probably
like a role model.
I would have bags and boards all over the place, I imagine. I don't know. But he does have that. And so the idea of him, me seeing the I accidentally saw the alert of the final score of the Rams game while we were driving home.
Oh.
And I go, oh, I saw the game. And I didn't think. And he goes, "What's it? Who won?" And I said, "Oh, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to ruin it for you." And it was kind of eating away at him that I knew, but he did
It was unbalanced.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
He's a kid.
So all of this to say, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk openly about The Last Jedi and spoilers from Battlefront 2. So if you don't want that, don't keep listening. I hope you've enjoyed this show.
And do you, let's do that. We'll come back right after these messages that evidently are not happening.
Someday.
Enjoy this brief, awkward pause of a half a second of silence. Is there a better sounding soundtrack than that sequence of notes?
I mean, that's sort of like saying, is one human better than another?
Yeah.
Which I could say, yes. Clearly there are better humans.
Really? You think you think there's a better way to like a better soundtrack to a movie that just
I'm just saying, like, aren't all music great?
Oh, shouldn't it all be good?
Yeah.
No.
And to which I say, no, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. All right, so
but John Williams doesn't do much wrong. So, like,
no.
Yeah, he's got a
And
Harry
you know
Potter,
what I like is that I feel like if you, nothing sounds the same. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I also like Hanson, the band.
Interesting segue.
Yeah. But when you listen to their newer stuff, does not sound a lot like Mbop. So I heard them on a podcast.
Same is true for the Beatles, which no one has ever compared Hanson to the Beatles.
Right.
So.
That's true. Nor should they. But I liked Mbop. Who didn't like Mbop? But then I heard them on a podcast and they had this song. And there's this song called Thinking About Something that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have time, maybe I'll even play it for you guys.
Play us out.
We'll do it live. I'll play it live, damn it.
What does play us out mean? We'll have to play that one also live. So Star Wars Battlefront, you played the game last we spoke, did the campaign, but did not spot any spoilers in there or any...
No, what I caught was... Here's what I did. My kids played the campaign, and I came in and participated in a mission with Kylo Ren.
Okay.
And then,
The one, though. That's the final level. That's when all the information is.
Oh, okay. And so, you could see that it looks like. Oh, I could say this because it's a
spoiler. We're spoiler zone.
It's a prequel. What if everybody listening live just dropped out right now? That's what I just.
We've got a week,
but it basically is. But I don't think it spoils anything. But it's a prequel to the Force Awakens movie. Am I misremembering?
To The Last Jedi.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what I didn't connect.
Right.
Dang, I wish I didn't know that. No, I'm kidding.
I'm out.
Yeah. Kevin's going to do the show. La, la, la.
So, guys, here's what I learned.
So
in that level, what's so important is that in the game Battlefront, you play as Idris?
Yeah. Idris Elba, I think is what.
Yeah. A turncoat from... That sounds wrong.
It's an actor.
what does John Travolta call her? Javol Bolivila.
Yeah. Adele Dazeem.
<Does it mean?
laughs> The incomparable Adele Dazeem.
So you play as an imperialist, an elite infernal squad member that after the Death Star is blown up at the end of Return of the Jedi, realizes the fallacy of the Empire when she sees her people being murdered and slaughtered and not cared for. And her, along with another member of her squad, become rebels and join the squad. So and then at the final battle of the thing, which apparently was more important than the battle at Endor, is on Jakku. It's clear that these two members of Inferno Squad that become rebels fall in love. All right, so that's how the main story ends, and then it goes two decades later, and Kylo Ren shows up and does sort of a recap of the entire game through this sort of dream sequence thing.
Okay.
And it's kind of fun, and you get to play as Kylo Ren, and he's breaking the mind of the guy that you were playing with sometimes. And they release a couple of very important details. One says that you think she changed you, meaning Idris Elba, and your daughter changed you. So very heavy hint there. So we last see them on Jakku. You're there. Welcome. You're there.
Wow.
So they're suggesting in this that because we don't know why in the Force Awakens, why Kylo Ren knows that the some girl on Jakku is a big deal. So you remember in that film, he says, you know, there's a girl and he goes, what girl? And then he pulls the guy over. We never learn why he cares, what the significance of the girl, but he has information about somebody, a girl from Jakku being big deal. So they're suggesting that you just played a video game in which you were playing as the mysterious parents of Rey.
Who left her there.
Who left her there on the planet.
Wow. Now, here's the thing. I have to know, do they get together with J.J. Abrams before he takes that black and white photo of the room read? It wasn't a table read, right?
So important.
And they say, we're going to also make a video game. So if you could give us a little Easter egg or... Is it when they go, okay, now we're going to make this game, do the people who make the game go, is there some kind of tidbit that you can, like, how can we integrate into the story?
It would be more Kathleen Kennedy, right, than J.J. Abrams, because she would be the manager of all of it, right?
Good point.
Right. Because he did the first one, and now that Colin Trevorrow is not on the third film, J.J. is back on that one as well, so they're going to leapfrog around, but he would not be the one. He got to lay out a lot of the groundwork, and if you watch some of the, or read some of the books on the making of Force Awakens, they kind of had... carte blanche. They were just like, do whatever. So like parts of it were going to take place on Sullust. We were going to meet planets that we'd never seen before, and they weathered it down and got to make a lot of choices. But I can't imagine, to your core question, that J.J. Abrams did not have an answer to the question, who is Rey's parents?
Right.
And I have a hard time believing that the answer is these two turncoat nobody characters. And they were like, let's release that information in a video game where 90% of your audience isn't going to be exposed to that material. That being said, Disney has affirmed that what happens in that game in Battlefront is core. It's part of the universe. So everything in there in that game, those are characters that existed alongside.
What do they call it? Canon? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. It's canon. So the words that Han Solo said in that game are words Han Solo said. Things that Luke did are things that Luke did. They count just as much as whatever happened in New Hope or Return of the Jedi.
That's interesting that because you're right in that idea that, you know, most of the people aren't going to even play the game.
90% easily.
But here's the thing. But couldn't you argue, though, that the people who are really like, I think that there's also what percentage of people that enjoy Star Wars are just going because it's a good movie with a lot of lasers and some cool visuals. And it's a story that you get emotionally connected to versus how many people that watch it and it just it harkens back to their childhood. And
it's a religion.
So much to them spiritually.
It is moved into the level of.
But are we talking 30% of the people that go see this movie feel that way or 80%?
Look, I was willing to preserve the relief of Luke's dad for my 5-year-old son because it meant something in the same way that Santa Claus means something to families of like, no, we have to keep that mystery alive.
But is a kid like, here's the other part of it, is that a kid who's born in from someone who was born in 1990, like my nephew was born in 90, I think it is.
So he thinks Jar Jar is the funniest.
No, 96. I'm an idiot.
So he thinks Jar Jar is the funniest character.
But that's what I mean is like, does it have the same impact? You know what I mean? Because I think it's just our generation. Our generation is going to go through because I just saw it on that sitcom, Me, Myself, and I, mm-hmm. where the dad was doing the same thing you're doing. It's like he's waiting for the exact age that he was for her.
I think it's doubled down because now not only do you have all the weight that we had as kids as it being this thing that all of culture was forefronting together, but now it has the power of history behind it, mm-hmm. of like fathers and son. The only thing me and my dad ever did was watch Star Wars movies together. So it's even weightier. Plus, kids of your nephew's age and many of our listeners, they grew up on tons of Clone Wars animated series, and now they've got Rebels.
That's right.
They've got an even more expanded universe than when we were kids. They was hot in the early
80s.
Oh,
they have it so good.
They do. They've got Star Wars coming out of every hole. We went like 10, 15 years with nothing but the Ewok movies.
Yeah, that's a good point by you, because this is how ingrained it is in me, is that when I see those Disney XD shows, I'm like, oh, I wish I could watch every episode.
Why don't you?
I could.
Oh.
Because that's the thing.
Why don't you?
Because it hasn't hit me until this conversation. Like, here's the, I'll see an advertisement, and it's so great to, and this is, again, to go back to my comment about the nerd-centered culture we live in now, is that it's like it's built for us. The, yeah. Like, I'm going through and watching every episode of Third Rock from the Sun with my kids because it was a show that I loved when I was younger, but I was a teenager when it was on. But I still thought it was funny. And watching it now, I get to enjoy every episode, never feeling like I missed any of them. My kids are doing the same thing with Teen Titans Go. Like, they, I just buy the seasons, and then I get a little email that says, oh, a new episode is available on the Amazon Fire. And then
that's cool.
And I tell them, and they go, ah! And then they go and they watch 20 minutes, because they're only 15, 20 minutes long usually. And they love it. And
that's cool.
And so, but I could do that exact same thing with, you know, the Clone Wars animated series. And what's the new one? Rebels, right? I could do all
of that. Or the Lego Freemakers, which is the best show that has ever been
made.
Lego
Freemakers?
Oh my gosh. It is the best show ever. The so it takes place in between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And it's Lego people. And they're these non-force sensitive family. And then they have one kid that discovers he has force sensitivity. And they go around looking for the original Kyber Saber crystals. So they do all these homages to the other films. But in a family-friendly Lego universe, it is the comedy of The Simpsons in the universe of Star Wars.
It's so good.
It's a great show.
That's so good.
So, but returning to our spoiler here.
Sorry.
What do you think it is likely that we have met the parents of Rey in this video game? Or is this a red herring?
Ooh.
Because here's, if you take it from our
wives. What's the benefit of it being a red herring?
To get us talking. Because we are the core audience, right? We're going to go, we're going to buy it, we're going to eat it up, we're going to talk about everything!
Yeah.
Our wives are not going to play that video game. If we, right? To be fair, they're not going to play it. I had to walk through the plot. She was getting a little glassy. she hung on because she cares, but she wants to know who Rey's parents are. So if we go and see a movie in 2 weeks in which they're like, oh, it's just these guys, she's going to be like, that's it? It's these characters I've never heard of before. I thought it was going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi or the Emperor or somebody of emotional
Luke Skywalker himself.
Exactly. Like, it's going to mean something. And it, for it to be that, she'll be like, oh, it was from that game he played.
Because that was my theory. My theory was is that the reason why Luke is off on this planet isn't because, you know, he tried to, you know, train Kylo Ren and it broke bad.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to bring his nephew closer to the light side of the Force. I think what happened is that if you're a guy who's literally saved the galaxy multiple times and you're single and you know, we know where his morals lie. He's totally comfortable where he's not going into a downward spiral after making out with his sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to have some sexual experimentation in him.
Making out is a little strong.
What do you mean?
They just kiss. She kisses him a couple times.
Miss, yeah.
You have an odd sister fantasy. We need to go off here. Where's Dr. Malone?
Listen, we're explicit. Let's do it. No, my point is, I think that he was fooling around. Maybe he sired a couple of young Jedi-lings or whatever those would be called.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. No, in all seriousness, I think.
Do you really think it's Lucas or?
Well, here's the thing.
That's
I kind of hoped.
Yeah.
But I was making the joke of like, well, no, but why would he?
Yeah.
But in my mind, he's more like he's closer to Gene Simmons than Luke Skywalker in my mind.
Good call.
but I think I don't. It seems to be that if it's not true, right? If it's not true, and these aren't the parents, or there isn't some kind of plan to have a movie where we get to know the story of Rey. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's a different trilogy.
Interesting.
Is that for the video game to be the only way for you to find out seems odd.
Unprecedented.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it would just make people mad.
And for a game like Battlefront, because I got to be honest, it's like we talked about last week, is that it's an okay game, but if you strip off the fact that it's Star Wars licensed, it's not really great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And even the cutscenes are kind of okay.
Yeah.
The scene with Luke is a great scene. That's some I had a expanded understanding of Luke's character from that
interaction. Oh, I gotta play this campaign now.
Really intelligent. So he meets him. First of all, you mindlessly slaughter a battalion of stormtroopers, and then you get to this cave, and Del, the romantic interest of Azina Denimar, is trapped, and he's calling for help, and Luke comes in and goes, I'll help you. And he's like, I know who you are. You're going to kill me. He's like, you're asking for help. I'll help you. And he helps him. And then he saves his life two more times. He's like, why did you why did you save my life? He said, because you asked, which is fascinating. And so then they get into this, Dell's mission is to unlock this like storage closet buried into a cave. And he gets there and he's like, how do I blow this up? I can't even open the door. And Luke is like, oh, it requires a key, and uses the Force to open it. And he's like, why would the Emperor want to destroy something that only the Force could open up? And they have this conversation about how he grew up thinking that Jedi were bad, and really he was taught the wrong thing. And he kind of invites him to be a rebel, but he's like, no, there's too much conflict in you. But here's the best part. He goes, they start to scout around this storage container, and there's just junk in it. There's like vases and chests and like tapestries and whatever. And they're just like, why would he want me to blow this up? This is just crap. And Luke happens to, the Force is drawing him, and he opens up a chest and he pulls out the compass that we know from the other film.
What?
So this is how he finds...
I'm kind of glad I didn't play it. I think it makes this much more fun for me.
It's like you're playing it now.
Yeah.
He finds the compass that we later then use to find where Luke is. So he uses this compass to get to where he is on that island. And he turns to Del and he says, I would like to keep this. He says, I'm not going to stop you from blowing this up, which is awesome. You would think that he'd be like, no, I'm going to stop. He's like, no, I'm not going to stop you from blowing up this facility, but I want to keep this. And Del says, why would I let you do this? And Luke says, because I asked. And the guy is like, the man saved my life three times and is letting me complete my mission. How can I not let him this one request? Am I really going to fight him over this when clearly Luke could kill him dead if he needed to? And he doesn't. He lets him go and eventually becomes a rebel and joins the side. But because of that one moment, all of the activity that happens in Force Awakens is possible because Del did not fight Luke or try to kill him or stop him.
Wow. So, I got to play this game now.
Probably better just to watch the cutscenes on YouTube.
No, I want to play the, because here's the thing that I was. So what happened was my sons were showing, we had a friend over and my sons were showing this girl the Star Wars. She likes Star Wars, you know, and then the other dad started playing the game, but he's obviously not good at games.
He keeps looking at the ceiling.
Yes, oh my God.
Shooting the ceiling.
Is there anything worse than watching somebody play a shooter game where they're constantly looking at the ceiling?
Or looking
at
the floor.
All I kept thinking is like, why even invent a ceiling? Why? Who needs to see a ceiling? Why do you? You should have a 45-degree cone of movement. If you want, you should have a rookie setting on a game.
Oh, like training wheels.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
That it restricts, you know what I mean? Why? Because you don't need to look straight up ever. There's no situation in a shooting game where you want to look straight up.
Flying stuff. I've done it.
Straight up?
Yeah.
No, you back away. You're always coming at them. No. Even if it's one of those jump troopers.
Overwatch and Destiny, I've definitely gone completely vertical.
Well, then Destiny's for... If you're going to do Star Wars, because that's the other thing I was thinking.
Leaping characters in Star Wars.
And how many people, though, are picking up this game? I wonder if it's ever even a thought that it's like, this has to be a game that people who don't game like to play.
Oh, I disagree. I think Battlefront is for very intense gamers.
Because the mechanics and everything seem so basic.
There's no, like, fantasy. It's just war. You literally have to crouch and hide and pick your moments to shoot. There's no, like, in Overwatch, you're running around. Whee! Yeah. Shooting from the wall. I can jump into the ceiling and peg you from 100 miles away or get right in your face. This game, it's like, I'm going to go outside. Bam, dead.
Maybe it's, I wonder if my kids put it on easy, because my thought was, especially if you're playing as a hero. Mm-hmm. So my only experience with the game was I played a little bit of the multiplayer, and then I played the arcade where it's like you're doing these battle scenarios.
Which is all PvP, right? You're doing...
No, this was all just me.
By myself. Doing like AI stuff.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Maybe if I'm doing multiplayer and I'm playing against other people, I walk out and I'm dead.
Yes, that's what happens. That's what I'm telling you. Which is the core of the game. That's the way it's intended. All the star cards, all that stuff. All that other stuff is entry points for guys like you and your kids to get on board with it and get comfortable so you can actually go play the real game.
Online.
Yeah, the real stuff.
All right, I got to do that. Okay. I got to do that. Because here's the thing. The nice thing about these games is they seem to come out once every 5 years as opposed to every year,
it's
like Call
years
of Duty.
Now. That Battlefront 1 was 2 years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, at least not every year. Because I'm serious. I was buying Call of Duty. This is the first year I didn't buy Call of Duty, and I'm paying $100 every year for this thing because
it's like
I got to get
renting it.
All the expansions. Because here's the thing. At first, I was like, oh, maybe I won't do that. And then there was this time where I hadn't played it for a while, and I was going to play with our mutual friend, Nate. And so I go online, and he had already downloaded the expansion pack because he plays the game all the time, and I hadn't, even though I paid for it, but I just hadn't downloaded. So I had to wait.
Play.
I can't play with my friend. So I was like, well,
see you, Nerd Rage.
I knew.
out.
I did. I went on Reddit and I immediately launched a campaign for them to no longer charge for anything. Do we want to sneak in some?
No, let's go to break. We'll come back. Tales of Terria and Stump after this.
Okay, boop.
And now it is time for Tales from Terria.
That was good stuff.
It was good, yeah.
It was good.
That was worth it. That was all the pre-production we
did.
Yeah,
the people who listen to this as a podcast don't know that that probably was 20 minutes of me trying to fix an effect.
It might have been 25. Could have watched an entire episode of Teen Titans Go. When we last left, I mentioned that season 4 of Guild Wars was starting, and it has Jimmy Johnson and I have played together for 12 hours. You should be so jealous.
Roll Tide.
You could have been there with us the whole time, but... Actually, Jimmy and I are going to do a podcast together.
Wait, what?
It's going to be so
great.
What's
that now?
I'm going to be busy from now on. Sorry, I can't do this.
Is this why we can't do an episode next week? Is because you're playing Guild Wars with...
Well, let me tell you about how great it is.
The Angelina Jolie of video games?
Wow, what a great compliment.
Come on, let's not act like that's not in his Twitter bio. He knows what he's doing. He's a video game homewrecker. Like, oh, I play Cuphead. Listen to me, I play Cuphead.
Yeah, he did play some good Cuphead, too.
What's that supposed to mean?
He played good Cuphead, that's all.
I don't like you complimenting his Cuphead skills on my show with you.
All I'm saying is, if you play Guild Wars more, we could be closer. That's all. That's it. So, when we last left off...
Who's we?
Us in the audience.
Oh.
And all the fans.
So, not Jimmy.
There's 12 people in our guild.
Wait, but you and Jimmy have 12? There's 11 other people?
Yeah, Christian's in
it. What are you doing? Like having a video game orgy without me?
No, no one's in it except for Jimmy.
Not Christian?
He logged on. I got him the Path of Fire for his birthday, and we played for maybe an hour. I just need more friends. That's all I want.
No, you need more friends that play Guild Wars 2.
That's the same thing. It's the same. Quinn is not old enough yet to play games.
Oh, he'll get there. And you'll kick Jimmy and I to the curb so fast.
Oh, because he'll just be on hand.
Oh.
Be like a live-in girlfriend.
What if I accidentally decide to play Guild Wars 2 right as, like... Quinn reaches the age of ascension.
I will retire.
Because that will be his bar mitzvah you.
Yeah.
The equivalent in your family will be when he's old enough to play.
Which is going to be next year. So
really?
You think I'm a man? I'm letting him play Sesame Street.
He's 4 now, right?
He's 5 now.
5 now.
Thanks for caring. I'm letting him play. He gets to play SesameStreetOnline.com based on your suggestion, so he learns how to use the mouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's gotten very good at it, and he wants to play it all the time. But I'm like, Dad's playing Guild Wars. So anyway, season 4 has begun, and it's been very exciting because the map has gotten even bigger. So the most recent expansion extended the map to the south and added the Elonian Desert, which was the third campaign of the original Guild Wars. So they've taken the...
remastered it and brought it back.
Yeah, and just like the original Guild Wars was a remastering of the first... So it's like 250 years later, things have changed, some things are the same. So it's cool for people that are brand new to the game. It's just a beautiful desert-based map.
But if you've been playing from day one...
Like, oh, that's fun. So you show up, the map extended further south into the island of Istan, which is Noob Island in the original game. So in the original Nightfall campaign, you started on this island until you were a high enough level to go into the rest of the campaign. And so I would actually ferry people for money within the game out of Noob Island and onto the main core of the game so they can move on. It was like this tipping thing that if you were in a certain level and had done this certain thing, you could ferry. And it was like, I would make decent amount of in-world
You were
gold.
Like an Uber driver in Guild Wars.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd be like, here's your tips. And they'd have to pay me before I'd unlock this gate and stuff. So now, I twitched this, but my actual knowledge of Istan came into help, which was by their design, I'm sure, as my character, Karina, lands on the island and she's looking for the Australium. And I'm looking at the map and I'm like, I could cheat and go and look back at the original map because it exists. I could just look on the wiki and find out where on this island it is. But I'm like, but that's not as cool as me remembering where it is. And as I twitched, I'm like, I recall it being kind of in this northern part of the island. And so we headed over there together And there it was.
You and Jimmy?
Yeah. And everybody on Twitch.
You and Jimmy went to a romantic island.
It was beautiful. Australia is so nice now. It used to just be like a solar system model that you could kind of see. They've built it up in 200 years. It's this spinning spiral, a tower of library books as you go through all the way up to the top. You can see the whole land below, and it's just so gorgeous. So it has this mini game within this land. There's like,
I don't want to talk about this part anymore.
You're going to love it. The quest
when
is...
When did Jimmy leave?
I think he didn't leave. I think he's actually waiting for me right now.
All right. Interesting.
The quest in the land is to find library books, among other things. But you find library books, and then you have to return them to their proper shelves.
What?
Yeah. So you find, like, a book, and it's called Koss on Koss. And you have to know who is Koss and what section of the library is it in. Is that a history book or Heroes of Tyria? Is that about...
And this is part of the episode, or this is just something you stumbled upon?
This is a quest within the map of this episode. Okay. There's five quests. This is one of them. They repeat every day. So then to go Koss... Oh, gosh, I'm going to knock over this water. Koss was an NPC character that you had with you in the first game. Well, you meet him in this episode. So last night, Karina got to go fight the undead version of Koss, which was great. He looked just like he did back then. After defeating him in this dungeon, I find a library book, an overdue library book in the thing. And I have to bring it back to the Australia. And I realize on this map for this episode of this season, there are overdue library books scattered throughout the map.
So that's when you're like, this is the big part of this episode.
Yeah, it's just a fun, like, mini just challenge.
Settling up somebody's public library
account. Yeah, just going around to dungeons and things and being like, oh, there it is. There's the book. I'll bring that back.
I'm going to have another piece of this chocolate that Please we have do. Here, but it's not because I'm shame-eating because of your love of
Listen,
this game with Jimmy.
You're on even footing with him. You have just as much an opportunity.
I've never been to the romantic tropical island library.
We can
you.
Download the game right now. I'm inviting you into my life. Jimmy's just there.
I feel like at this point, if I do it, it's just because I'm jealous of him and not because I want to, and that's ill intent.
No, our relationship goes much further back before there even was a Guild Wars.
That's true.
By like 10 years, I think.
We were back in the Sims days.
Oh, remember the Sims?
So,
Tales from Tyria! Tyria! Oh, did you have a follow-up question?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm chewing into the microphone. So this episode,
yeah,
you're so that's going to like you get the gist of it. That's the exciting part is like you're going to wander around to area in a map. You like it says, go here, talk to someone. You go talk to them and then they go, OK, go. You know, you got it. They need help over here. And then you go fight this monster and then you get a library.
Yeah, the library thing is more like just an added side quest. It's like a collectible challenge. If you wanted to do it, you would search the island for overdue library books, and you get a reward once you've completed that set.
Part of the,
but the story is the main idea. There's going to be I'm going to have to do quests all over the island.
And I don't know if I'm creating spoilers by asking you these kinds of questions, but it's to me it's like the hard part about an RPG type game like this for me personally is that I really want to care about the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that there in this?
I think so. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because I know you're a narrative guy. You like characters. You like stories. You like to write about them. You know, you like to enjoy them. You'll hate a sitcom because it just doesn't seem realistic to you enough. You know, so.
See Orville. Yes.
Right. Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. So you can. It's hard for me to see that you would love this game if it didn't have a strong narrative that pushed you through it. Yeah. Or is it more the gameplay and the spectacle that you love?
I think what I've learned, because I've asked that question when we were playing PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, of like, why is it that I enjoy this fighting game so much more than others? And I realized that that games are several different things being pulled at once, right? Because if it's just one thing, you'll get tired of that one thing. The good games that are out there are well-rounded so that when you are have experienced one element, some other element of it can impress you. It's like Arrested Development, the show. You can watch that show multiple times, and each time you can see some new dimension to it. A game like Guild Wars, there are times where I love having the superpowers of just the core idea of being an elementalist or being an engineer and having this stuff and getting to hit those buttons and watch the character. Sometimes it's about exploring the environment. There's so much going on. They're telling stories within the environment and the characters are talking to each other. Sometimes it's the lore. Sometimes it's the artwork. Sometimes it's the game mechanic. Sometimes it's the crafting thing. Sometimes it's the desire to achieve more levels or to get new materials. There's so many different directions that it can go that every time I log in, which is every day, there's some new reason or some viable reason for me to play and engage it that day. which is the opposite, I think, of how most apps are. They create one reason for you to log in, and they punish you if you don't log in every day. You must log into Angry Birds every day.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
I wonder, so do I need a mouse in order to play this game?
It would be easier.
It's easier if you have a mouse.
Yeah, yeah. But I've got a mouse in my backpack.
No, I've got a mouse. It's close. And I don't know how to feel about it.
This is amazing.
I don't know how you did it. I don't think it has to do with Jimmy. I really don't believe that.
Jimmy's a nice guy, though.
But maybe
we could all play together.
Because the closest you've ever come is that this idea of, I'm at a point in my gaming life, in a cycle of not overall, but just in the year of going, yeah, I've got my Madden game I play, but that's why I was going to play Battlefront. Because every once in a while, I'll play Madden, and then I'll go, I want something a little more story-driven.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll dip into that.
Why did you enjoy DC Universe Online? What drew you to that?
The DC world, like the idea. See, and
that's the idea.
The thing I'm sitting here thinking of is that I don't know that I'm way into like the fantasy of the magic and
why I think Guild Wars has engaged me at that level is because it's not, I would almost argue it's actually science fiction. Ooh. So I have we need another podcast for this, but there is a difference between science fiction and fantasy, and it isn't because there are spaceships in it, right?
No,
because Star Wars is fantasy, with the exception of Phantom Menace. Every one of those episodes of the Star Wars series is not rooted in anything scientific at all.
It's all fantasy.
It's all fantasy.
Yes, I agree.
The Force, everything, even they have logic, they have reason, there are rules, but no one is using science to explain it. Unlike Star Trek, they hire people, actual scientists, to re-explain things in a scientific manner. The difference is in Phantom Menace, there are several moments where they use science to explain things like metachlorians and symbiotic relationships between ecosystems, stuff like that, which I think is one of the reasons why we hate that movie so much, because it wasn't the fantasy experience. Guild Wars, while dressed heavily, it's about fighting dragons.
Yeah.
We've got guns and things there, so it's a little more piratey gun than like space age gun, but they use science to explain their magic. So there's actually a race, one of the playable races are called the Assurans, and they treat magic like the Silicon Valley. And there are three colleges that have specialties in dynamics or statics, and how they use magic, it sounds like they're talking about technobabble on Star Trek. And the big turn that we've learned in the last couple of years in Guild Wars, and I won't say it here just in case it's an actual spoiler for you, was grounded completely in science of like how they interpret magic is exactly like a scientific concept.
I love the Mass Effect games. Why would I not be into Guild Wars? I really think the only hang up I have,
it's a PC game.
I think that's it.
It's just a lurch. Yeah. And it looks, you should come over and see it now on my new 980 GTX NVIDIA card, because it is gorgeous.
I bet it is.
It is gorgeous.
I'm going to think about
it. You're on the hook. Let's go to the phone.
So is it, it's free, right? So I
free
can
to play.
Get it.
The core game is free to play, free to own. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, all right. Okay, so we're going to play Stump It. We've got,
it's just Stump.
Hold on.
Do we not have any calls?
Nope, they just went away.
Oh, no.
There was somebody from the 614 area code.
Come on back. We're going to stump you.
And they were there, and I clicked the button to accept their call, and then they did. Now, I'm assuming that they're listening live. The other thing that we could do that I would suggest people do, and you tell me what you think of this, Kevin.
I love it.
While we have somebody who just called in, here's another person, but one of them I'm almost sure is either Jimmy or Matt.
they need their own podcast.
Here's the thing. I want to say out loud, Jimmy, if it's Jimmy and Matt, hang up just for the own joke and humor of myself of watching these two numbers disappear off my screen here. But anyway, not that I want you, because I already hung them up, Matt, and I still feel bad about it.
Oh, one went away.
No, really? Oh, that's funny. It's probably Matt. Hopefully he gets it. Jimmy, hang up, because you know you're stealing my man. So stupid.
It's working, Jimmy. It's working.
Such low-hanging fruit, Justin. But I lost my train of thought. We could tweet out. There are other podcasts that when they take phone calls, they don't have they don't stream them live.
The only reason we haven't done this, and I feel like this is a safe place so I can admit this, is we don't remember the password to our Twitter account.
Oh, I do.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
You tried it before and it didn't work.
No, I can get us in. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can figure that out.
Well, let's not do it now.
Okay.
You're turning like you're going to do it right now.
No, I wasn't going to do
We're
it right
kind
now.
Kind of
but,
in a show right now.
Is it? All right. So let's see who this is. And if that was Matt that called in, you can call it. All right, 256. Who is this?
Get away from my woman right now.
What's up? It's Redneck Jimmy Johnson. Fresh off a Jerry Springer episode.
And I'm pissed that you're stealing my woman. Roll Tide.
What's up, fellow Planet Plutoian? My guild mate. Good to hear from you.
That's funny. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
He's driving.
I actually just got back from Tuscaloosa, but not for any football related reasons.
Is that allowed?
I went to go and see. Yeah, it is actually, because the one thing more American than Alabama football is having a Medal of Honor recipient come and visit your city.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
We sang for that ceremony. Today.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Are you still going to school there, or are you done?
I'm done. I drove 2 hours south and just arrived home about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations. Well, we're running short on time, so you can once again play Stump with us.
Or you can leave. It's up to you.
Justin would like you to leave.
No, okay, I don't. I want you to do what you want to do.
All right. Jimmy, you, as our guest, you may choose to go first or second in Stump.
I'll go first this time.
All right, first it is.
I really feel like the rules change every week. Am I wrong?
It's great.
Okay, good.
That's part of the rules.
I don't mind it.
I love it. You on the rules. It's meta.
Oh, yeah, I do have it.
Nice. All right, so I want to know for Stump, how long the PSP was out before the PS Vita was released?
Ooh.
So the PSP was released on one day, and then the PS Vita was released on another day. How much time went between the release of the PSP and the PS Vita? 6 seconds on the clock. No Googling while you're driving.
Okay, is it nominations of months or years?
You may answer. Say again?
Are we looking for months and years or just the years?
Yes, I am looking for the amount of time. Whoever is closer will win.
Okay. I believe it's six.
Six what? Hours?
Years. Months or years, he said.
months, years. That's 12 years. Mm-hmm. You're saying 6 years. You think it is 6 years?
Yes.
All right. Really?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. All right. To Justin.
The PS Vita, PSP to PS Vita. Uh-huh. I think it's closer to, my first guess was 8 to 10, but that's not a specific number.
That's true. That's multiple numbers.
So I'm going to go with 9.
9. Also, you were closer, Jimmy, without going over it. 7 years, 5 days. 7 years, 5 days.
Wow.
The PSP was released on December 12th, so topical, in 2004, and the Vita came out in 2011 on the 17th of December.
Why release so close to Christmas?
I think to make it a hot Christmas item.
But do you think because those years ago, I'm wondering now you could release something in November for Christmas because people just buy it online. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if it's a different culture then.
I waited in a line for my Vita. I was at the door at midnight and got it at 12:30.
And then didn't it break and somebody got you like a God of War one or something?
No, that was my PSP. PSP broke, but I was in line for the Vita. Yeah, I'm going to go home and play my Vita right now.
I still have the Wolfman game on my Vita. That's what I'm trying to play.
Oh, did Jimmy just hang up on us?
No, he's got the R2-D2 parrot.
No. That was the Bluetooth in my car going off.
Ah, got it. All right, Jimmy, do you have a Stump question for us since you lost?
Yes, I do.
Is it about Alabama?
I hope so.
Yes. No, it's not. Oh. It's not about Alabama. It is actually video game related this time.
All right, go for it.
Okay. What is Sonic the Hedgehog's middle name?
The. Nailed it. Suck on that, Johnson.
We both say that.
Okay, I'll give you a freebie that is not the because maybe that is correct, but there is an
wait, that's a wrong
name
answer
for Sonic.
How is that wrong?
Yes, it is.
What's his last name?
It's technically correct because everybody calls him Sonic the Hedgehog, but he does have a middle name,
including the box
Sonic blank Hedgehog.
All right, Tiberius.
Oh
Is Tiberius final answer?
I'm going to go with Michael.
Both wrong, but Justin was closest.
Yeah.
His middle name is Maurice.
Maurice.
According to the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon from the 90s and the comics.
Oh, that sounds like something that would be in there.
The
you millennials love that Adventures of Comics.
Who cares?
Adventures of Sonic. I need to get into that. I think I need to discover the magic that is that.
The Sonic game?
Yeah. Because someone else gave us a question from that. They wanted
that
the Knuckles, right?
Yeah, the Oh No, and I tried to pull that off the internet so I would have it here.
By
that,
millennials, I mean
that
Jimmy.
That was me, but that was from Sonic Adventure.
Yeah.
Who cares?
That's not me saying. I care, Jimmy. Thanks for being in my guild. All right, Jimmy, thanks for calling from Alabama.
All right, yes, I'll call from Alabama some other time.
Okay. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Oh, he's still there. He wrote
my button.
Come on.
I'm not good at this. All right, let's blow through these calls before
we're doing more calls.
Yeah, we'll do a couple more real quick. There's two more people. One of these cannot be Matt, so because I don't recognize the number at all. All right. Who is this, 570? Is this you, Matt?
You're not going to hang up on me again.
Poor Matt.
Poor Matt. All right. Do we have time to play Stump?
No, we don't have time for Stump. What do you want, Matt?
Yeah, what do you want?
I just want to come and say hi, guys.
What's up?
Yeah,
Matt, you come in. Here's the thing, Matt. We got a show that I know it may seem like on the outside when you listen that we're not content-oriented, okay? Because, sure, we just come in here and we seem like we're just making this up, all right? But when we have callers, it's because we're using you as a crutch, okay, to provide content for us. So you can't just call in for us to talk more to you.
I feel like you're revealing the man behind the curtain.
I am. Pay no attention to him. I'm just saying that it's not just about conversing. You got to bring something to the table.
Oh, I see.
Think of Kevin and I as a hot chick.
Stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Bring stuff.
Okay, bring stuff, man. Don't just say, I just wanted to call to say hi.
Yeah, this isn't a script.
Unless you were secretly hoping. Shut up, I'm talking, Matt.
You can mute him. Don't you have the ability?
All right, I didn't hang up on him, but I did mute him.
Good.
All right, now listen, Matt, because I know you could still hear my voice, all right? When Daddy's talking in Daddy's dojo, you listen politely, all right?
Yes, Daddy.
Yeah, all right, thank you, Kevin, role-playing as Matt. All right, there you're back now. So you see what I'm saying? I'm not mad at you. I'm never going to really be mad at you. But when we do the calls, you got to have something. You got to bring something to the table. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm a big fan, and I appreciate you listening to the show. But if you have a question you want to hit us with that you've always wondered or anything like that, or a comment about something, I'll also allow that.
Well, thank you. I do actually have a question.
Sorry to interrupt you again, Matt. Shut up. Stop talking. I really want him to. I do actually have a question, and then him to hang up on us. That would be so funny. All right, go ahead, Matt. And I'm sorry if I just ruined your bit on accident. Go ahead, ask your question, sir.
Kevin, as an avid collector, I don't know if you are, but I'd be surprised if you weren't into the Funko Pop like fan craze. I know that's like a big collector's thing, and I've unfortunately gotten suckered into those. But
how many do you own?
If you have ever thought about those,
how many Funkos do you own, and where do you keep them?
I brag about it a lot. I have a nice like back shelf where I keep all my collectibles and stuff.
Justin's Googling it.
I don't even want it. Like 60, 70.
Oh my gosh. For the uninitiated.
That's me.
Pre-orders on the way.
Oh my gosh. For the uninitiated, Funko are the vinyl square face dolls that you see of a popular every character.
So those you could find at a Toys R Us. Those are the big headed. I would call it a nerd bobblehead.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It's funny. We don't own any except my son is huge into Ghostbusters, the 1983 Ghostbusters, and he loves Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, who he was for Halloween.
Yes.
And he made his 2-year-old sister be Slimer.
It was great.
And she ate that up as well. So he, for his birthday, was gifted an oversized Funko of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, which he sleeps with. And we only recently got rid of the box. And so Slimer exists, which is a pretty cool looking Funko, very different than the rest of them because, you know, he hovers and he's got slime. And his sister, every time she sees it, says she wants that one. It seems fair that he's got Stay Puft, so she wants Slimer. So those are the only Funkos that we've got. But they're a lot of fun. And there's, like, everything. There's a Funko for everybody out there. Is there a Sly Cooper Funko?
Oh, God, I wish.
Yeah.
I'd have to buy it immediately.
Give it time. If that existed, I'd own that.
What's your favorite one, Matt?
Well, just as a matter of fact, it was my birthday last week.
Oh, happy birthday. When we hung up on you.
I was, I'm sorry, you're going to say something?
No, no.
Please continue. He pointed out that we hung up on you on your birthday week. I'm so sorry. Oh, man. This is just breaking bad for me.
I was roaring on the floor. That was hilarious. Don't think that was the best.
Oh, good.
Don't worry.
All right. Well, then, good. Happy birthday. I'll be rude to you again next year.
Okay, thank you. That's all I can ask for. I got a lot of money for the birthday, so I sprung up for my what I was shooting for forever. I finally caved and got the Indiana Jones Funko, which is stupidly expensive, but I'm too big of an indie fan. I had to get it. You know what I mean?
It's the one with the crystal skull, right?
The Golden Idol from Raiders.
Yeah, the Crystal Skull, the good one.
No.
The good Indiana Jones, right? The one we all like.
You're breaking my heart.
I see, exactly, yeah. This is how you can know he's a big fan of yours, is that because he's like, he says yes, but no.
No,
like,
yeah.
he's the part that loves Sly Cooper says yes.
Yes.
The part that is like,
that,
no, that's
that
a bad movie.
Humanity.
Yeah.
Says no.
And is not a fan of George Lucas anymore.
Cool. Well, thanks for stopping by, Matt. Enjoy your Funko collection.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you guys.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Last call. We got one more.
I don't hang up on him. Yeah, we got one more.
Good.
And then we can wrap this up.
This could potentially be a new caller is what you're saying.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. It looks like I may accidentally have Matt on the line and this other person. Let me click that again. All right. 614 area code. Who is this?
Am I coming in clearly?
Oh, no!
What?
It's that guy! Is this our friend from Australia?
Hello? Yep.
Yeah!
Hello?
There are only three people that listen to this show.
Hello?
What's your name, man?
That's so great.
Hello?
What is your name, my friend?
It's Lucky.
Lucky?
He's, yep.
That's it, really? That's funny. Well, you know who's lucky as we are. We're the lucky ones. Did somebody reach out to you because I've been playing your voice forever when we started doing the show again?
Hello? No, I was just wondering, like, last time you guys said you were going to get that as a drop. I've got to listen to see if you guys will do it again, and you're doing it again, so.
It's happening right now.
Hello? Yeah, I can hear it in the background. Very funny.
All right, did you have a question or a comment for us, Lucky?
Hello? What games have you guys... I know you guys have been talking about Star Wars Battlefront and everything with Rey's parents possibly being revealed in that. And
spoiler.
The possibility of a Sly animated series coming out sometime next year. I was wondering, have you guys heard about the new Mega Man news that dropped today?
No.
Hello?
Educate us. I did see something, but I did not read the full article.
So they had a live stream on earlier today on Twitter. And they're releasing a brand new Mega Man game.
In the classic side-scroller format or in a, like, 3D platformer?
It's in the classic styling of a Mega Man game with new 3D graphics.
Sorry, it's a side-scroller or is it a 3D platformer?
It's a side-scroller with
Sweet.
3D graphics from today.
I'm on board with that action. Is it 2.5 or 3 or 2D? Just straight two dimensional, or can you go back and forward like in Little Big Planet?
I don't know. I haven't really seen the full stream, but from the trailer, it looks like it's a classic Mega Man game with updated.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they added the 0.5. That's cool.
Is Mega Man your favorite game?
It's one I've been meaning to get into since I read the Archie Sonic crossover comics.
Your entry point was the Archie comics. Wow. That's unusual. That's pretty cool. So you're a big Archie fan then?
Well, I was before they canceled the Archie Sonic comic franchise.
Oh, I see.
Oh, it's a Sonic. There's a Sonic?
There's an Archie Sonic series of comics. We have just learned.
So, but not Sonic, Maurice the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Oh, it is Sonic mixed with Archie. That
don't ask. There's just there's so many question marks. So do they reveal the bad guys? Is it a reboot or is it a continuation of the story?
It's kind of a spin-off based on the old Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, okay.
And then like a few years ago, they did this big universal reboot Chaos Emerald Control thing to change the universe a little bit, so it's now more in tune with the games.
Yeah.
And a few months ago, they had to cancel it due to licensing problems.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Boo.
Well, that's exciting. I have some friends that are way into Mega Man, and when their kid was younger, about 3 or 4 years ago, they would play the old school Mega Man games with their son, and then their son would go to school and talk about Mega Man, and they would look at him like he came from another planet because there hasn't been any Mega Man stuff.
And it's true.
They're like, what's a Mega Man?
That was the game that I missed the boat on the Nintendo.
Oh, like, you missed big. Yeah. Because that's a solid game.
I think I tried to play the first one, and it was just too difficult, and that was when I was way into sports games, and I didn't have friends who were into those, and even though we would take turns, but we were like, the Double Dragon was our other big one that we would take,
you can't trade
the controllers. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks for the news. You can be our correspondent.
Australian correspondent, all right?
Hello?
Thanks.
No problem.
Thanks for calling in, Lucky. I'm sure we'll talk to you again another time. Thanks for tuning in, man.
Bye, Lucky.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah. Justin, funny. I think we've been talking too long. I'm having a hard time. My voice is going.
It's time to end.
Anything else you needed to say?
No.
Do we have any other calls?
No, I think we did it. So check out the description of this episode, and you can get all our social media handles.
You can say those if you need to.
Unlockable Man, Gamerland Pods.
Kevin Miller. Now figure out which one they are.
Yeah. And then figure out the passwords for us. But we're going to wrap up.
If you are a different person than Matt, Jimmy, or Lucky, feel free to call in.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
No problem.
Thanks for calling in, Lucky. I'm sure we'll talk to you again another time. Thanks for tuning in, man.
Bye, Lucky.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Justin, I think we've been talking too long. I'm having a hard time. My voice is going.
It's time to end.
Anything else you needed to say?
No.
Do we have any other calls?
No, I think we did it. Check out the description of this episode, and you can get all our social media handles.
You can say those if you need to.
Unlockable Man, Gamerland Pods.
Kevin Miller. Now figure out which one they are.
Yeah. And then figure out. That's right. I screwed up. I'm going to start over. I don't know what's wrong with me.
We've been talking for a long time. This hour-long podcast has gone for 2 hours.
All right.
Are we recording?
This is Justin Worsham. On behalf of Kevin Miller, saying, okay, bye. Know it. So when did you ungrow it and decide that you would find another man? You've been out there shaking, terrible boys chasing. When you get home, I'll be the bigger man. Cause you said